available in more homes than the Pac-12 Network, we are the Podcast of Champions. Fight! I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online.
And here he goes, Miles Jack.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com.
Liner, going to try to sneak it ahead. Touchdown, SC!
We are the Podcast of Champions. Welcome, everyone, back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together we make the Podcast of Champions, talking all things Pac-12 football. It's Thursday morning.
Wow.
Dave, you seem a little chippy, like you seem very excited or something.
I am.
Wait, are you excited because we're going to talk about Pac-12 spring games?
I'm actually just upset that you didn't match my pitch on the on the intro.
Oh, sorry. I don't know if that would work so well for me.
You had to break your voice a little bit.
Yeah.
I wanted you to go high, and you went low.
It's morning.
That's kind of similar to Ryan's general operation. I just want him to, you know, operate on a higher plane, and he just can't do it.
Constantly low. We have an exciting... super exciting show. We got a lot of voicemails to get to.
I'm gonna let you all know just up front, because I'm a big believer in truth in advertising.
Uh-huh.
We're gonna talk a lot about spring games in this show.
Yes.
So if you wanna go ahead and switch over to a different show, or listen to the radio, or just take in the companionable silence of your car, feel free. if you wanna turn off, you know when you turn off the radio and everything, and then suddenly you hear something wrong with your car?
Yes.
Like, you're like, wait. Has that dragging noise been happening for weeks, and then you find a piece of rubber like hanging off the bottom of your car?
Mm, it's one of those things.
Yeah,
okay.
I think everyone should take a minute, turn off this program, don't listen.
Wait,
and listen to the sounds of your car.
This is my
home economics advice for you.
This doesn't, like, we still have to record, so it doesn't get you out of doing the show.
Shit.
Just if people turn it off, that just doesn't help us later on. So.
This isn't live, is it?
No.
Right.
All right. Well, let's get to our little intro thing. If you have any questions or comments for the show, pac12podcast@gmail.com. You can call or text us. Like I said, we've got a bunch of voicemails this week. 424-532-0678 on Twitter at pac12podcast, the website pac12podcast.com. We're over on the Reddit. I know we haven't been touching the Reddit lately, but you got to go check out the Reddit. They should.
Okay.
I mean... Someone took the time to create that. You used to post on there sometimes. Apple Podcasts.
Hey, there's a new post.
There's
a new post on the Reddit.
Nice. Well, there you go. Go join
from 5 days ago, but relatively new.
That's new. It's not like months ago. The Apple Podcasting app, you can follow us there, the Podcast of Champions. Rate us with the 5 stars and then just destroy us in the comments. We love that. And you can do it over on Spotify and stuff too. But appreciate you all doing that. Do we have any new reviews or anything?
God, no.
No reviews. That's good. Dave's on a time crunch. But we have to get right into it, because I don't know what's better than spring football in the Pac-12. Like, it's the best. Dave loves it.
I just had to walk away from the mic. I had to turn away.
Yeah. Absolutely loves spring football, as you all guys all know. Me too. And so I did my best to... watch all these games because they're on the Pac-12 Network. Here's the issue. I didn't get to see Stanford's because I didn't record it live, and then I never saw a replay on the Pac-12 Network. There were replays of the Arizona and Arizona State spring games. So this is just kind of what I read. And I watched some videos on the Pac-12 Network, on the Pac-12 site. You know, there's some, obviously, I'm sure you did all these things too, David.
I wish you could see the expression on Ryan's face as he talks about spring games. I think that's proof positive that we need to have the YouTube channel, because I think just seeing the, like, serious, excited, like, little boy face for discussing spring games.
Yeah. I'm excited. Like, dude, this is like, football's coming. I mean, it's months away, but it's coming. Like, this is like.
But this is not football.
Do you know what? You know what I like, though? Okay. So what was Stanford last year?
Shit.
They're your absolute butt, right? Arizona, 1-11. So those two teams combined for 4 wins in 2021. If you watch the broadcast or listen to the interviews and stuff, I mean, David Shaw was all smiles. Just like it seemed like there was just like,
why wouldn't he be happy? He makes like $5 million a year.
Well, that one year he made like nine, which is crazy. I think it was just bonuses and stuff. Jed Fish, I mean, they were having water balloon fights. They were like, the optimism was through the roof. It's just, you know, recruiting, everyone's like, everyone you sign is going to be the next superstar. Spring games, I feel like there's some of that too. So I don't know. There's just like this optimism. Plus, you got like Yogi Roth on the call for both games.
Great. I'm glad you realize what you just said is exactly true. They are in no way tied to the reality of what will come in the football season and serve absolutely no purpose from an analytical perspective. Thank you.
Okay, so we can agree to disagree on that one. But let's start with, okay, we're going to start first with
Stanford Cardinal.
All right, you know, in full Stanford fashion, was it a real game? No. And I think we're getting away from a lot of the real games, it seems, a lot of places. Just a scrimmage. They didn't keep score. They didn't even, like, try to, like, call it, like, white versus red or anything like that. He had limited numbers of receivers, defensive backs, running backs. So he called it like a glorified scrimmage. But he said this is going to be one of their best, David Shaw, one of their best off seasons ever, because the COVID stuff, they missed a lot of the winter workouts, the post, you know, spring workouts. They weren't able to do all that kind of stuff. So, like, that was like the real optimum. He's like, this is going to be one of our best off seasons ever.
Sorry. He's sounding like Todd Graham these days. Wasn't it last offseason where he said their offensive line was the best he has had at Stanford?
Okay. You know, you can't – everything he says doesn't mean that it's true, right? Like, just because he's optimistic and he makes a lot of money and his team
and
is
his
butt.
Team is ass.
So, okay, did I buy that this was his best offseason ever? No, I did not. But that's what he – I mean – super, super optimistic. Telling the Pac-12 Network.
Love a spin. We love a spin.
Yeah, I think it was talking to Ashley Adams. I forget who it was. But but they had some, they had like Christian McCaffrey there, Doug Baldwin. They would all speak with the players. He really wants Tanner McKee to jump onto a national stage, saying that he had a great spring. Watch out for EJ Smith. He's a freshman. He's a running back EJ Smith, because, you know, Austin Jones, they had lost their top two running backs. And they have a freshman tight end, Sam Roche, that had a couple of touchdowns. He looked pretty good. They always get some big body guys there. But, you know, unbridled optimism from David Shaw. I wish I got to see some of the scrimmage. Maybe that's why they didn't show it, because it was probably like a really terrible. Like,
yeah, I'm really bummed I missed out on this too. I was washing my hair.
Yeah.
Optimism in spring. I'd love to see the spring for like a program where like the coach is really pessimistic about their chances.
Yeah, we stink.
Yeah, we're going to be really bad. We have no chance. I might just actually quit sometime between now and the start of the season.
Yeah, it's just so weird. Like, maybe Stanford's not going to be butt, but I really think they're going to be butt again.
Yeah, they're going to be ass. Are you kidding?
Yeah. When he's like, I mean, they're missing a lot. I mean, they're just thin a lot of places. They had a good recruiting class, but just a lot
but
of...
But who knows? Who knows, really, because you didn't see the spring game? How can you really know anything if you haven't seen the spring game?
Yes. Yeah. That. I mean, obviously, you can... I base a lot of what my picks are on the spring game.
Uh-huh. Which
didn't work so well last year, but... actually, I didn't really... I skipped it. You know what? When I lost last year to you, I skipped watching the spring games. So now I'm going to be back, because I've got all the spring game knowledge. This is perfect. All right, next up...
Arizona Wildcats.
Fish is he's very positive. You know, he's always upbeat, but I feel like he was more just sort of like coach speak, reserved when he was talking about things. Just like, he wasn't like over the top, like, we're going to be amazeballs or anything. It was pretty good. They had, Teddy Bruschi there and Lance Briggs, they had a bunch of alumni there, but they were the honorary coaches. So that was kind of fun. Like I mentioned, they had a splash zone. I think he said they had like 5,000 water pistols that they gave out, like, and then thousands of water balloons. So there were balloons being thrown to the crowd, people getting wet. This was the morning game. So like Yogi did this one, and I think he went to Tempe and did the night one afterwards. But you get to see Jaden DeLora. They said it was he said it was the best way to cap off a spring. They did have a game. It was red beat the blue 24-21, which if you remember the line, it was 3.5, so it was really close. So Noah Fifita, the quarterback who comes in with T-Mac, the highly ranked wide receiver that they brought in, he actually looked really good moving around there. They have a bunch of new players, so I think there's a lot of optimism. They had a few picks. Delora, I think, threw a pretty bad one early on. Jackson Turner had a really nice pick six. It was like 80 yards or something like that. And they threw it a little wrinkle. So Arizona's women's basketball star, Sam Thomas, came in the game. Didn't have a helmet, but she had like a jersey on and stuff. She caught a touchdown pass. Brendan Carroll wasn't happy because I guess it was the team he wasn't coaching, the offensive coordinator. He's got this weird like beard that sticks out kind of pointy now. So Brendan's looking a little weird. But he's always like a fun dude. But he wanted her to catch a pass for his team, but it worked on the other side. But, you know, fun day in the sun in Tucson. Defense forced a bunch of turnovers. Former USC outside linebacker Hunter Echols, he apparently is getting a sack at like every practice. He had a big play in the game too. So a lot of optimism. Delora, when I watched him, he just looked like he had like command. He was running around. Like he just looked like someone that, you know, has experience, which he does. But I don't think he played that well. So I'm sure he's going to still, I would guess he's still going to be the starter.
You don't think they're going to make a determination based on the spring game?
Well, I mean, they could. It's a big deal, the spring games.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But yeah, watch this. Now, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was watching it at night one time, and I fell asleep about halftime, so I had to watch the next day, finish it off. But it was just because I was tired, not because it was boring. It was a spring game.
Your commitment, man. Your commitment
to this show that we make no money off of. I'm committed to this. Like, even if I didn't want to, like, now it's the bit, so I have to do it.
I know. It's the bit. I love that the bits that I have committed you to are all the ones that require a lot of work.
It does a lot. Yeah. So that's what I got from there. Fascinating, right?
No. Okay. No, it's not fascinating. All but right. Hunter Echols being like a dominant defensive player there while struggling to see the field at USC is pretty cool.
Yeah, there's just so many new faces. I mean, they're going to win some games, you know, but the schedule's not easy.
No, they'll be fine.
You're going to go from like one to three or four wins. Yeah. I mean, that's progress. And I just like the way he's putting it all together. You know, I'm not a huge fan of like the Brendan Carroll, like being the offensive coordinator thing, but whatever. I mean, I like Brennan, but just like, I don't know. You probably get somebody else. But anyway, let's go to our last spring game for this week because we got plenty more to come.
Arizona State Sun Devils.
Okay, so this is a team that went 8-5 last year, which I looked back and I'm like, they won 8 games? Like, so, and the broadcast, like, has to be optimistic. You know, are you going to say they went for the first like 5 minutes talking about like the need to replace some guys, but there's like a whole bunch of players returning. There's a lot of guys returning, but you know, there's some key players that are gone. They didn't say Jaden Daniels' name for quite a while. And it was just sort of like, they didn't say like, you know, oh, all these coaches got fired or left. They sort of like stayed away from that stuff. If you just watched this and you didn't know anything about Arizona State football, this is what was weird to me. You wouldn't go, this program's a dumpster fire right now. Like, oh, they went 8-5. They're like the Herm Edwards is like the greatest coach, and I got all these guys. They're going to be building towards just even better season and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I feel like sometimes it just wasn't. You have to admit there's like shit went sideways last year. You know, like mm-hmm. This was like you were waiting for the other shoe to drop the entire offseason. You lose both coordinators, not because they went to get other, I mean, like quit or get fired. I mean, it's crazy. And then your 3-year starter leaves, just walks away.
What network was this on?
This was on the Pac-12 network, yeah.
Oh, okay. So it was on state TV and you're wondering why there wasn't truth in advertising here?
Right, yeah. Vladimir Putin's there, yes. Like you must say. but it just had this weird feeling. Literally, they didn't say Jaden Daniels' name like for a while, and Yogi eventually said it. And I was just like, because they were talking about who's the next quarterback's going to be. They got like 5 quarterbacks in there, but Trenton Bourget So he's the redshirt junior that was the backup before. And then Paul Tyson is the transfer from Alabama. That's Bear Bryant's like grandson or whatever it is. But they had 18 new players, late spring game. Herm, they were calling him the portal watcher. So he said all the other coaches are going to go on vacation. He's going to stick around and watch the portal after spring. So players, just so you know, players have to enroll by May 1st or May 2nd or whatever if you want to be able to participate. So you could still bring a transfer in like June, but they won't be able eligible to play. So you have to – everyone's got to transfer by the beginning of May. Otherwise, you won't be eligible. So there's going to be a lot of portal activity after all these spring games, the very important spring games. And it was mostly practice period, but they did end with some live scrimmaging, so not a real game. They had a whole bunch of recent ASU alum, and they were like kind of talking about like the really recent alums, like the guys that were just there, like Chase Lucas and Jack Jones, you know, Benjamin was there. The very last play was probably the best. Bennett Meredith, who I don't know who he is, quarterback. James Pearson from El Segundo.
The great city of El Segundo where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
I think he might have two touchdown catches, but he had a really nice over-the-shoulder one, and then Herm just kind of, it was right on the pylon. Herm just ended it there. I think at the end of the broadcast, this was a little weird. Herm said this was the first time they were in full pads. So they weren't in full pads like for the whole spring, and they just did it for the spring game, which seems a little like, that feels a little very Clay Helton to me. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work. Yeah. Like you got to practice in pads. Like I correct me if I'm wrong. I thought I heard that on the broadcast. It seems a little.
Are you asking me to correct you if you're wrong?
No, some of the listeners are going to write in and be like, you know, Evan from Tempe or something is going to call it. Like, smoke a ball, call it like, dude, they were in pads.
We love you, Evan.
Yeah. Something like that. So, yeah. But yeah, like I said, it took a while to mention, you know, Jaden Daniels' name. They're going to do, so Glenn Thomas is a new offensive coordinator. They're going to do a lot more under center, a lot more huddling, which is the way, it seems like the trend of where college football is going, right? Like they're going to fullbacks and huddling and under center stuff. That's sarcasm. And the one thing that they did say, okay, so remember the penalties were a problem last year?
Uh-huh.
So they're doing, if they get a bunch of penalties in practice, they have to do gassers afterwards. So a little, you know, some consequences if you get penalties. The weird thing was, and I don't not believe it, but everyone was talking about like the team chemistry, that there was just so much better. It just seemed like it was better team chemistry. Like they all went through hell, right? Even though they won a bunch of games. And it seemed, I honestly believe they felt like a lot of these players feel like they were galvanized because they do have a lot of guys returning. There's just kind of key spots that were missing, like the whole, you know, a lot of the secondary is gone. You know, Jaden Daniels, obviously, but, you know, running backs, but I did believe that they feel like the team chemistry is better. Maybe I'm just being naive. And they, you know, the production that was lost is significant, but maybe this wasn't guys, you know, coaches having to go and fire and all that kind of stuff. Maybe it did galvanize the team a little bit. I don't know, but I kind of believed them when they were talking about that. Everyone was kind of saying that. Do you believe it? Probably not.
No, I don't believe it.
Do you care? You don't care.
No, I don't believe it, and I don't care. They're going to go like 5-7 this year.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I'm a little more optimistic just watching.
Oh, because of the spring game.
No, but it wasn't even like the game stuff. It's more just about like, you know, they're just in a tough spot. But I feel like they're going to circle the wagons a little. I think they're going to circle the wagons.
Do you and Yogi Roth like get together and talk about these spring games like before and afterwards?
No, he did message me though. Like, I was on Pac-12 Network or Pac-12 Radio, and he like,
because you got to love Yogi because he is as close as you get to Bill Walton on the football side of things in the Pac-12.
He's just more even keel, but he's a Venice guy.
Yeah,
he's
no, but he
surfer
is,
travels
he is,
the world
he
to
is
surf.
Pure like UCLA is going to be like a 10-2 team. This year, USC might go undefeated. Like it's just great.
He has like unbridled optimism. I don't have that, but I'm just saying hearing them talk about the team chemistry, I might have a little bit, I think they're still going to be pretty crappy, but maybe not quite as crappy as I thought. That would just, I'm leaning that way a little bit.
You're leaning towards less crappy.
Less crappy, but still crappy, but like they're going to like.
Poopy, not crappy.
Yeah. I feel like they're going to circle the wagons a little bit. We got to get Cartman on, and he'll give us a straight poop. He tells it. Remember that one year he was like,
no,
Herm's first year, he's like, hey, they're actually going to be pretty good. I'm like, all right. And they were, but they're pretty bad since then.
True that.
Okay, coming up this weekend. Okay, Dave, it'll be easier assignment for you. Only one spring game.
Oregon State Beavers.
You got to watch this Saturday, April 16th.
Do 11, I?
11 a.m. on the Pac-12 Network. I've already recorded it. I've already set my Sling TV to record this, so I'm not going to miss anything. I don't have to go find the replay or whatever. Jonathan Smith, the optimism.
Mm-hmm.
You know what have been more optimistic?
What?
If JT Daniels would have went to Oregon State.
Yes, it would have been more optimistic.
Yes.
But alas, he went to West Virginia.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, which is, I feel like, the most Oregon State program on the East Coast.
Yeah, they're sort of in a conference that's sort of like kind of fringy. They're just kind of weird. This is like soap opera-ish, JT Daniels going to West Virginia. So Morgantown, you ever been to Morgantown?
No.
Lovely. Morgantown, burning couches. I'm from I have family from there because I was in Western Pennsylvania. That's like Pitt and West Virginia. They hate each other and stuff. But I lived in that, growing up till I was like 11, like in that sort of area. It's pretty close. But anyway, do you know who their offensive coordinator is?
Graham Harrell.
Graham freaking Harrell, who JT Daniels played for an offseason and then 30 minutes or almost 30 minutes of game time against Fresno State.
And then he lost his job and never recovered it.
Well, he lost his knee.
Well, we've all been there.
Yeah. And he never really lost his job. He didn't stay around to compete for it, but Keaton Slovis became like the savior or whatever. He threw for like...
How long did that last?
The end of that year, it did. UCLA helped out. He threw for like 500 yards or something against UCLA. Four different receivers went over 100 yards against UCLA in that game.
Wow, that's crazy.
So they were pretty excited about Keaton Slovis.
That must have been a good USC team, huh?
And Graham Harrell. No. And Graham Harrell's offense and everything. And then it just went down. Like people figured out, oh, they only ran like three plays. All right, we can defend that. And like, oh, yeah, we can. And then that was over. So JT Daniels, who'd look good. And you feel bad because Daniels didn't look good in his freshman year of 2018, but they ran that gumbo offense that nobody was really running. T. Martin and Clay Helton and all that. You bring in Harrell, and he actually looked competent and put receiver. Plus, they had like four NFL wide receivers. So now he's reunited with Graham Harrell. He said it's like he feels comfortable in the offense or everything. And their opener, West Virginia's opener, is against the Pitt Panthers, where Keaton Slovis.
Wow.
Yes. So full on former USC player. Now, Keaton Slovis, I think JT Daniels is the only dude with experience on the roster for West Virginia. They got some quarterbacks, but
Slovis has to compete for it.
Slovis, I think, is competing for it. Yeah. There's more of a, it's a little more difficult, but that'll be kind of an interesting deal. But Oregon State missed out.
Yeah.
I was really hoping.
They'll be fine. Oregon State will be fine.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to get to? Because we got a lot of questions.
I got nothing else. I am drained. I've expended all of my spring game knowledge.
Yeah, you. I'm impressed with your contributions in that first segment.
I thought so. There was one of those where I don't think I actually.
There
said
were several words you said. Not always having to do with what the topic was, but still, you said a few words.
True.
That was good. All right, let's take a break. Back in a minute.
I love how you began your summary with Stanford. This is in our notes document. Just a scrimmage, no keeping score, and then you thought that the rest of this would be interesting to me.
No, this is for me. This was my note. I knew you wouldn't care about any of these, but when I wanted to recap what was going on, there was just taking notes for myself.
Uh-huh.
He did say there was a limited number of DBs, running backs,
yep.
receivers. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay, so... all your skill guys are limited. Perfect. Like you've created this roster. Why did you let them all leave? Like, why did all your running backs transfer somewhere? Yeah. Okay. Should we start? You want to do, what would you like to start?
At the very beginning. It's a very good place to start.
Let's do, we don't have that many. Sean from Ohio. Gents, Sean from Ohio. I rack my brain to come up with a question for you this week. Here goes. He sent this like a week ago, but just like after we recorded. Did we do this one already? No.
We did this.
We did this one. I'm sorry.
Hang on. I'll handle this. All right.
I think it's Matt from San Diego then.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
We want video! 3 exclamation points is the subject line. This is from Matt from San Diego. Good evening, gents. Speaking on behalf of the entire POC fan base, a video version of the show would be a fantastic product. Speaking of, did you ever watch those Billy Mays parodies on YouTube of him, of somebody doing like a Billy Mays dub?
No, like they, a fake product or something?
Yeah. And so whenever I see the word product, I have to pronounce it like that guy doing the dub, which is fantastic product. Anyway, go look those up if you can. They're really funny.
They're funny?
Yeah.
Billy Mays is in the... Is he the dead one?
He's dead, yeah. But these came out, I think, just before he died.
Okay.
So they weren't problematic then. But now there's been enough time that maybe it's fine again.
Yeah.
But they were really funny.
Okay.
Anyway, I particularly would want to see the live footage of Dave's rage eventually boiling over and lashing out violently against Ryan after his USC boasting goes too far. You know what to do, gentlemen. Give us the video, please and thank you. Sincerely, Matt from San Diego.
I mean, we probably should make a YouTube page.
Yeah.
And this is easy to do. So, like, you can't see us. We're in a studio right now, and I do a show with Chris Trevino, and we put it up on video. It actually does pretty well, even though, like, you know, people listen to the podcast. Yeah, we could definitely do that. David has to create the YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's usually where I come in.
You have the Gmail account.
Yeah, I create these things.
And then never touch them.
Yeah, that's what I do.
But we could do that, and like even just like little quick videos, like funny things. I don't know. Maybe it'll be make a TikTok for us too.
Yeah, I can do that. I know all about the ticking and the talking.
Okay, this is from Ross. Your choice. Hey, guys, if you had to pick one out-of-conference game to go to this year for any team in the Pac-12, which game would it be?
Very interesting, Ross. You're asking us to remember the games that are happening in the league this year.
So I just remembered Oregon going to Athens, Georgia.
Done.
Yeah, so
there we go.
That's a pretty easy one. I think there's some other good ones.
Sure, I don't remember any of them.
Is Arizona State playing Oklahoma State? I think so.
Okay. I truly do not remember any of the non-conference.
Aren't you supposed to be smart? Like, wasn't there like
my memory for that sort of stuff? Like, I need to be reminded about 4 times before I will remember actually what the like matchups are for an upcoming season.
Okay.
So I have no idea.
Yeah, I think Cal plays Notre Dame. That's not really. Stanford and USC both play Notre Dame.
I'm going to look up the schedule right now so we can actually answer this effectively.
Okay. Well, we have our answer.
Just give me a damn second, okay?
I think we have our answer.
All right. So Utah goes to Florida.
That's also a good one. Yeah.
All right. So Georgia, Oregon is not in Athens. It's in Atlanta.
Okay. I thought it was Athens. Okay.
Well, these are the mistakes you make when you don't look things up like I do. Answered it already. No, you didn't. You didn't answer it well. I'm telling you the truth now.
But the Utah game's in Gainesville.
Yeah, that's in Gainesville.
So that could actually put it over the top.
Like, I think that does. Also, Washington State in Madison is no joke either. Mm. Hanging out in Madison with all those drunk Wisconsins would be a lot of fun.
I would. Yeah, like the jump around
Wisconsinians?
Thing.
What do we call them?
Wisconsites? Or no.
Whiskies?
I like that. The jump around thing would be fun to see. And Madison's supposed to be a great town, you know?
We've also got Cal going to Notre Dame, which would be fun if it wasn't Cal.
Right.
Sorry about that, Cal.
Stanford's going to Notre Dame,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but that's not fun either.
No.
Colorado, Minnesota?
Yeah, no. That didn't go well. I thought...
That's in Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota came to Boulder last year, I think.
Okay. I prove it.
I think so.
As I said, prove it.
All right. So do you want to do, I think if it was in Athens, I would pick.
I'm going Utah at Florida. That's my pick. I think that'll be fun.
It's more a winnable game too.
Well, and it's also the question is, what's our choice to attend?
Yeah.
And I think if I want to pick something to attend, it's going to be the road game.
I'd rather be in the swamp and then a neutral site game that's super close to.
Yeah, I want to see a big SEC environment. So that's my pick.
Yeah. Okay. I'm good with that.
Okay. Next up, we've got Mark in Vancouver. Gloves are off. Hello, champions. Been saving this one for the off-season discussion. For our younger listeners out there who aren't familiar, please explain the story behind Rick Neuheisel and gloves. Thanks for the continued adequacy. Mark in Vancouver.
Wow. He called us adequate. I like that.
So if I'm remembering correctly how this came up, how it was initially broached, was in a story about UCLA, like a 2 or 3 years, I think, after Neuheisel was gone, where he explained away one of his issues at UCLA being that there wasn't even funding enough to afford enough gloves for everyone on the team.
Right.
And he said that was he was using it to exemplify the issues, but the way it was phrased made it sound like this was almost like a necessary condition for being able to win more than four fucking games in a year.
Like our team didn't have hands.
Right. Right.
We didn't have anyone with the hands.
And so we hammered that for I don't know, the better part of 2 years. Yeah. And then Ryan still occasionally brings it up. But yeah, it was.
You would besmirch his name and he didn't have gloves.
Yes. Because
his handless team couldn't win.
Because Rick Neuheisel can't just own the fact that he was a terrible coach, just terrible. It's instead, no, we didn't have enough funding for gloves. And the reality is, were there some funding issues with UCLA football at the time? Oh, yes, very much so. was his success on the field dependent on his team having enough gloves?
Very much so.
Well, dude, you're making $1.5 million or whatever. Go buy the team some gloves, loser.
There was a funny tweet that was I forget what this was from, the 70s, the Cincinnati Reds or something. They were talking about the expense it was going to cost, $780 for baseball teams to, uh-huh. You have to get a wool uniform for. Yeah. Wool socks were more expensive. They're $8 a pair. Right. So to pay for the uniform for the whole team, there was an away one and a home one, and it was the costs are astronomical. But players supply their own gloves, and there was something else gloves and shoes or something. I mean, it was crazy. It was just how different it was, and that wasn't that long ago.
Dude, the analogy I always like is. Fucking school teachers making $50,000 a year are spending a shitload of money on their classrooms. They're buying markers, they're buying supplies, they're doing all that stuff because their schools are underfunded. Rick, you're making $1.5 million a year. You can buy 300 sets of gloves for a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
Just do it, buddy. If it's that big of an issue.
I don't know. I feel like it could be a violation. They're not allowed to provide stuff like that for the NCAA violation.
Don't give it to them. Make them turn it in at the end of every practice.
Oh, Rick. Rick is great. Amazing commentator. He's awesome on TV. You know, and a very underrated coach at UCLA. I don't like the way you speak poorly of my man Rick Neuheisel.
I mean, compared to Chip Kelly, maybe.
No, Chip Kelly won 8 games last year.
It's true.
Yeah, and beat the crap out of his rival and got a underwhelming extension that hopefully they'll add to it. Maybe if the spring game goes really well, he can get his extension to the extension.
Maybe.
And bump it up to real money.
Maybe if they win the spring game.
Mel Tucker money.
Yeah.
James Franklin money. That's what I want to see.
For our man Chip.
They got these billionaire investors and stuff, donors. Come on. Step it up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why don't we do a voicemail? Let's see.
Hey, David. Hey, Ryan. I wanted to ask you. Oh, this is Alex from Beaumont. I wanted to ask you, what's longer? What's wider? The Zodiac Killer's pauses in between the words or Josh Ship's hips? Let me know. Zodiac Killer, you need to speed things up because, geez, now I know how you kill most of your victims through sheer boredom. Anyway, take care, guys, and love the podcast. Bye.
Thanks, Alex.
That's crazy. I would not egg on
Zodiac Killer.
A mass murderer
no.
via voicemail, especially after you're giving your name and your location, Alex from Beaumont.
Yeah. I'll leave your number for
that's ill-advised.
I'll post your number on the Reddit page. So
what's wider and longer? I think Josh Shipp's hips were infinitely wide, sort of like it's like you know, one of those like paradoxes that you only find in a black hole. Like, I think it's just, you know, as far as the eye can see,
there were hips.
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't know that was a thing, that his hips were considered very wide.
It's a
I didn't notice.
It's an inside joke on the UCLA Hoops message board on our site from literally 16 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Alex
going into the Wayback Machine.
That is.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a longtime bro subscriber, I would guess.
Yes. Yes. And when I put a number on it like that, I feel so old. Because I'm like, I've been looking at that message board now for like approximately that long.
The fact that you know that.
Yeah. And now I work for it. And I do work for the message board, not for Tracy. I work for the message board.
You work for the
I work for the people. I'm a man of the people.
You are a man of the people. Yeah. Well, Josh Shipp's hips.
Josh Shipp's hips.
I was like, what? Like, what is this reference to? And I had to listen a couple of times. I'm like, Josh Shipp. Okay, so UCLA guy.
It's because, so UCLA, so back then, a guy named Greg Hicks, I don't know if you know Greg, he was the main basketball guy for Tracy.
Okay.
Doing like evaluations and stuff.
I remember the name, yeah.
But Greg's like a real scout. Like he did like scouting reports for like coaches and stuff. And so he would occasionally and often, I would say actually often, provide like real scouting like things about players in the program or coming into it. And one of the evaluations was about Josh Shipp's hips.
Ah.
Which really, really stuck in the minds of a lot of bros.
So for basketball, you wouldn't say the wide hips are good for birthing. It's more about good.
They're not good.
They're boxing out.
Yeah, the wide hips weren't good because of his position that he played. If he was a post player, you might want wide hips.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But he could box out.
He was more of a guard wing.
Gotcha. Okay. So not a lot of boxing out.
I mean, you got to box out every position, but it's not your primary purpose, and it makes it harder for you to move.
And he wouldn't be birthing any children, probably.
No, but there were a lot of jokes about that.
Okay.
About the wide hips.
Oh, I'm glad I could just pull that up. I did. Yeah, because I read those message board back then. I remember those jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. Okay, we'll do another one.
Hey, what's up, guys? Turk. Questions for Ryan. Seems like, you know, both you guys kind of settled on the 8-win season for USC, and I've seen some people go with 8, and I've seen some other people go ridiculously high and say that they're going to win the Pac-12 or could potentially make the playoff. And I was kind of wondering, is there any side of the ball or any specific part of the team that you feel like is people are really overlooking if they kind of lead towards that prediction? I mean, I know it seemed like kind of the line play was bad last year, but, you know, it seems like they're pretty solid everywhere else in terms of, like, quarterback, wide receiver, and stuff like that. So I was kind of wondering if, based on what you've seen so far, if they still have, like, one glaring weakness that keeps you from being not as optimistic as some are. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Perk. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, it's USC. You're going to get the benefit of the doubt, and you bring in Lincoln Riley. They're going to be competent on offense. You bring in Caleb Williams. So you could see people like, oh, yeah, they're going to go to the playoff, which I don't think that's going to happen. But I think that they're definitely going to build towards that. He's going to add like at least 10 players in after spring. That's a lot. So, I mean, they could completely.
Hey, how many number one offensive tackles have they gotten this year?
None. We're going to talk about, we have a question about that, I think, too.
Okay. I was just wondering because I was curious about that just because I know it's been a while since you guys got one of those 5-star offensive
tackles. It's been a long time, yeah.
And they were looking good for one of them, right? But he decided
he's going to Oregon.
Was going somewhere else.
Land Danning.
He wasn't going out of region. He was going to an SEC coach, right?
No. He stayed in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, but it's not a team that USC plays with regularity. Is it like out of a different conference?
Not that
or
often
something?
Because they don't make the championship game. Okay. But, yeah.
But it's like a, okay. So like a main rival in the league?
A recruiting rival for sure.
Okay.
Land Danning.
Uh-huh.
Our man.
Okay.
Josh Lupoy.
But so he was an in-state kid, right? He was from Oregon?
No, but he's from the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
He's like an hour down the road or something, or 2 hours.
Okay. Is Oregon, the university, is it located in Seattle?
It's very close.
Is it in Seattle?
No. It's in Eugene.
Got it.
But like literally, you know. If you have like a, if you have one of those state maps that you, as a kid, the puzzle, like the puzzle pieces are right next to each other.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a little, it's close.
Okay.
You could drive.
California's pretty close too, right?
I mean, 1,500 miles, sure. Like, what's close?
Quick flight, right?
Yeah. Like
quicker flight than the drive, you would say?
Maybe. No, drives quicker.
From Seattle to Eugene?
I think so.
No.
It's like three.
It's like three and a half.
Okay.
But it's definitely not three and a half flying.
Well, you
got to
go through security and everything, you know.
I mean, do you?
Well, okay. So if I get in the car to go to LAX and to get to, yeah, definitely. Because I got to take another flight. Yeah. Like,
you got to drive from take another flight?
Portland to Eugene, or then you're driving an hour and a half to, yeah. It's pretty significantly different to get to.
From Seattle to LA versus.
Oh, that's Seattle.
I'm driving from Seattle to Eugene. Yeah.
But anyway.
Because he's not from Portland. He's from Seattle, right? The Seattle area.
He's from Seattle, yes. Yeah. Rainier Beach, is that right?
Yeah.
Josh Connerly. We have a question on that, though. We can get to that.
Oh, okay. We're going to get to it?
Yes.
Okay. I was just making sure, because I remember you talking about that one as if it was like, you know, done deal, sure thing. And I was just wondering.
Well, like our buddy Brandon Huffman said that. So I was just going what he was saying.
See, interesting. I thought he changed his crystal ball to like a three. And then before that, he changed it to a five.
No, the morning he changed. I think it was that morning.
But it was a five before that. It wasn't
very, right. Yeah. He moved it down to a three.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just didn't want to spoil it.
Since he's like. where were we? What was the question? Oh, eight games. Yes. So there's definitely some optimism out there. I think they'll get there eventually. Because their recruiting class has three five-stars in it already.
Are any of those offensive tackles?
Zachariah Branch is a wide receiver, but he looks like he could book up. He actually squatted like 600 pounds or something stupid. Like he squatted like an offensive tackle. I forget all the nuances of his question. As far as like, I think their offensive line play was a little bit underrated last year. They brought in Clay McGuire, who's now at Washington State. He was much better, much more competent offensive line coach than what they had before. He coached in that system before. And they bring a bunch of guys back with starting experience. They bring in Bobby Haskins from Virginia. It would have been nice to have a guy like Josh Connerly in there, but I think they're gonna be fine on the offensive line. They're not super deep, but they got like six or seven guys that they like. I think the question is going to be on the defensive front, the front seven. The linebackers just have not been productive the last few years. They were worst in the Pac-12 in points per game, and they get a guy like Brandon Peely back. They bring in some transfers. You know, but there's the question is going to be like, hey, is Alex Gritch's defense going to be any good? So I think that's where you got to look at. I think the secondary will be fine, but I think the front seven is where they're if they're going to be good, if they're going to do better than the eight wins, it's because the defense is playing well. But that's where I think the biggest questions are going to be.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Connerly. We got the next one.
Hey guys, Phil here. I just had a quick question. With Oregon signing Josh Connerly this week, I believe that moves Oregon into the top 16 for the 2022 recruiting class and first in the Pac-12. Does that change your guys' perception at all on Oregon going into the next season? And does that change your perception maybe of Dan Lanning? Could he be as good of a recruiter as Mario Cristobal? And my second question is, I saw that Brew McCoy, who was on USC, he's transferred to Tennessee. Why wasn't that he wasn't really able to materialize at USC? And because he didn't seem like he had much play time. And do you see him having any production at Tennessee? Thanks, guys.
Okay. So
who's this Dan Lanning guy he was talking about?
Did you hear him stutter? Because he wanted to go Landanning.
Yeah.
That's just a better name. Okay. So with Oregon, so my feeling on Oregon for a long time is that they've got a great institutional setup up there where I think there's a lot of just like general apparatus at Oregon that is well designed for recruiting. And I think they've got like an institutional commitment to it, especially over the last like 15 years or so since they got really serious with the end of the Bilotti era heading into Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly's not a recruiter, and they were still recruiting well, which leads me to believe that there's a lot of, you know, institutional commitment, by which I mean money, and lots of people, you know, willing to do like the nitty gritty stuff of recruiting, which is great. And I think Dan Lanning is coming from an SEC program where recruiting is a 24/7, you know, job at all times. So I think he brings that same attitude that Cristobal brought to it, which, if you remember, when he started out as a recruiter at Oregon, everyone was talking about how they're doing like the SEC thing. Like they're recruiting like an SEC program. And I can't imagine that has changed too much with Lanning or with Dan Lanning in there. Landanning.
Yeah, you screwed it up.
Landanning. So I think that's just it's just a sign that they're continuing to do that. As Ryan said, it's just, you know, it's so much closer to drive for his entire family from Washington to Eugene than for them to fly, you know, timing wise to L.A.
No, I think they obviously Landanning came in and did a great job there. NIL is going to be a big part of all this stuff. I think the Pac-12 is behind in general, but I think Oregon's starting to put some of that stuff together. Everyone's sort of slow to get going on that stuff. He took a last minute unofficial visit, like, you know, a couple days before he signed and ended up signing with the Ducks. Yeah, so the Ducks now, you know, number one class in the Pac-12. And
you don't know how many hours it is from Rainier Beach to Eugene, Oregon?
It's going to be like four.
It's 4.5 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you can drive fast. So they're the 16th class overall. I think if you include transfers, they just 17, so right about the same. But, the, you know, that was the only five-star in the class, seven four-stars. But, yeah, definitely the best class.
Do you want to know what the flight time is from Seattle to LAX?
It's like 3 hours.
2 hours and 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to, like, drive to the airport. Then what? You got to drive to Rainier Beach. That's not super.
It's in Seattle.
It's not like.
I mean, how close is it to the airport? Let's find out.
Yeah. And you know how long security takes?
I don't care a lot.
Yeah.
Here, hang on. We're going to look this up. You keep going. You're talking great.
So it was very good.
It's 12 minutes to the airport from Rainier Beach.
Mm.
12 minutes.
You got to park, security.
Do you? Or is somebody dropping you off?
If you have.
Getting an Uber?
Yeah, you're in a good relationship if like you have a girlfriend and she's willing to take you or pick you up from the airport. Mm-hmm. So maybe it does.
I mean, I was a younger sibling. I drove all my siblings to the airport.
You did? Well, yeah. You lived in El Segundo, so like you literally could ride your bike to
about,
the airport.
About 10 to 12 minutes away, you'd say.
No, it's in the same damn city. Like that's just LA traffic. But obviously a really good recruiting class. We'll see what he's able to do going forward. The talent's there. Probably still the most talented roster in the Pac-12, I guess. When the talent composite comes out, I'm guessing Oregon's still going to have the number one roster. So he's just only going to add to that.
Maybe those gutty little Trojans will catch up at some point.
They could. They're going to add a bunch of five stars.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, they got three of them already. So it's Brew McCoy going to Tennessee. That was more of there was an off-the-field incident. There was a police investigation. There was a, you know, internal investigation.
He was arrested for what? Domestic violence?
Yeah, July
2021.
Some intent of, it wasn't good. And what we had heard at the time was like, yeah, even if they dropped the charges, like he ain't playing. So that's basically what was going on.
It's been a whole weird thing for him from the beginning at USC, right?
Well, he enrolled in Texas.
He enrolled at Texas.
Transferred back.
And then he wasn't able to play that first year because of.
No, he left like in spring ball or something. He like early enrollee and then transferred back. Like,
right.
So he never got to play. He only did spring in Texas.
But didn't he have some other issue that kept him off the field before the domestic violence?
God, I don't even remember.
There was some crap going on too with him.
It was like he was one of the weird ones that like early enrolled.
But he was having like personal issues on top of everything. Anyway, that's what I remember.
Maybe,
but
yeah.
There was a lot of stuff going on there.
For what we were told, it was like, yeah, he like the allegations were enough that they were, you know. And I think he did some kind of appeal. Maybe that was, maybe I'm mixing up the off.
The charges were dropped for a lack of evidence. But
yes. But it was enough where like the internal board or whatever that they look at that stuff. It was just, we felt there wasn't going to be a real chance he was going to be able to play. So I think there was, like, I think, but there was probably enough damage done that just, there might have been an opportunity for him to play after all that stuff happened, but he was going to transfer out, and now, you know, now he's at Tennessee, so we'll see how he goes there.
Yeah, he's now gone like 3 years without playing real football.
Yeah. He did look promising that first year. Was it 2019? He had, you know, it looked like, so he was going to be like sort of the heir apparent. They had Drake London, but when Amon-Ra St. Brown and Tyler Vaughns, when those guys, and, you know, Michael Pittman, like all those guys were gone, people were like, okay, Drake London's going to be good. And then like Brew McCoy is going to be like the number two guy. But then he never ended up being the number two guy because he couldn't play.
Right. All right, I'll do this next one.
Okay.
This is from Mike in the Bay Area. Podcast question. Ryan and Comrade Dave, as a big fan of Trojan football and college football in general, I try to catch at least one road game in person at a different school every season. Anyway, I was wondering what you guys, how you guys would rate the tailgating game day experience at each university. He'll start. Pac-12 South, Arizona. Trash. The fans are hostile. It's too hot out, so there isn't a lot of tailgating, and the most popular college bar to go to is called Dirtbags. The name alone should temper your expectations of the game day experience. 2 thumbs down, 1 out of 10.
Have you been?
I have been to Arizona, but I was only ever working the game, so I didn't partake of the full tailgating atmosphere.
Yeah, I don't think I got to either. I think I just worked.
I remember with Arizona, it felt love you, Arizona fans, and I love your football program. But it felt like there were a lot of urban tumbleweeds, by which I mean just plastic bags drifting in the wind on the dirt roads and stuff. My impression of Arizona is basically as an old West town that's just kind of been transplanted into the modern era with like occasional electric wires. It's not great.
There's actual tumbleweeds, too.
True, but I'm thinking of the urban ones.
Okay.
The windy desert winds blowing plastic trash bags around.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, Arizona State, awesome. Mill Avenue is second to none. The bars on that strip are packed 3 stories high in some spots and most run for a quarter mile. There are enough hot women walking around to give Bill Clinton an aneurysm. I had a Guinness at the Irish pub where Pat Tillman would sit and study his playbook with a pint way back then. The fans have always been pretty cool. It definitely isn't hard to find a cold beverage anywhere. I highly recommend 9 out of 10.
Yeah, like Mill. I mean, like you're on Mill Avenue. There's like you just walk down the street and you bump into the stadium. So it's like, yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty,
I'd give it. Yeah, it's pretty good. I'd give it like a 7 out of 10. That's not really my like favorite type of pregame atmosphere. I like more traditional like tailgating scenes, gotcha, and stuff like that. But yeah, if you're doing like the bar thing, walking into games from that or after the games, more than likely, it's hard to beat that. I mean, yeah. Texas has got a pretty good thing with, what is it, 6th Ave there?
6th, yeah.
Or 6th Street, or whatever the hell it is.
I think it's, yeah, it might be 6th Street. Because then, like, then 4th Street sort of like, they have like a bunch of streets, but like 4th Street's like sort of like the
yeah
weirder version or whatever.
Right. You know. Okay. Colorado, solid, great college town with college bars, incredible scenery with the stadium being where it is. Overall, a good experience, 6 out of 10.
I mean, Boulder's beautiful.
Never been.
Oh, you got to go. That's your team, too.
I know.
It's a cool one.
Yeah.
There's some cool bar, like, and, you know, you would like it. A lot of, like, microbrew IPAs, and they'll give you all the reasons why you should like it or you should.
Oh, yeah,
like, you would
great.
Love that stuff.
Yeah,
right?
0 out of 10. Utah, whack. Mormon fans are something else, man. They're kind of the point that it seems like they're pandering and disingenuous. So I want to be placated, I'll just watch the product on the field. It's also pretty hard to find beer, and the women here dress like pilgrims. No, thank you. 3 out of 10.
I've never been to Utah.
I have. I think it's a.
That was a joke.
This is a strong. Yeah. I had forgotten that you'd forgotten. I think this is way underrated. I think it should be 6 out of 10, similar to Colorado. I think all the stuff about the beer is I mean, you can find beer. And also the sight lines from the stadium are beautiful. You can see mountains. You can see all kinds of shit.
It is nice.
It's really nice.
Your media parking, super close, too. Like, it's
yeah.
Great
oh, yeah,
media
yeah.
parking. I like the press box stuff in there. It's good. I did go to a BYU game back in the day, like that's probably in the 90s, and that was definitely tougher for like tailgating stuff. Like that's like a dry, like Provo's like dry. And I remember going, I don't know if this is the case anymore. I think we might have even been in Park City, but if you wanted to get alcohol, like you had to like, it was like a club. Like, so like going to a bar, like it was sort of like a cover charge or something, but you got like a little card. So like you paid like $5 or something and got in, but cause they sold it as like a club more than, and I don't know if it's still that way, but I remember going to a liquor store and it's like, it was like in the basement and they put it in a paper bag. You felt like you were buying drugs. Like there was definitely a different feel back then, but that right. was more like, that wasn't like Salt Lake City.
No. No. And I feel like there's some heavy stereotyping here. Like,
there seems a lot. Yeah. Like, someone hurt Mike in Utah.
USC, don't, well, like just all these. USC, don't forget to bring your Glock. This part of LA is wild. Rock and Riley's and the 901 are cool places to get a beer pregame, and parking isn't all that painful. The Coliseum is also pretty iconic. Always a good time. The best part is seeing the students hold up signs when USC comes to town saying things like, your daddy works for my daddy, or my housekeeper went to UCLA, 7 out of 10. So this is a really interesting one because this, I feel, and I, not that I'm an objective party here, but like I feel like this is pure bias because you would only think this about going to a game at USC as if you were a student at USC.
Oh, maybe.
Because here's my thing on USC. I think the best aspect of the USC football game day experience is being able to walk through campus and seeing people tailgating actually on campus.
Yeah, that's the best part. He
that
didn't
is
mention
the
that.
Only part that's really cool. The shitty bars that are near USC are shitty bars that are near USC. They're in no way like good compared to other college bars. And the Coliseum, like I'm sorry. It's a fucking dump. And it has been forever.
Yeah, it's a lot nicer now that they renovated it.
But it's a dump. And I'm not saying the Rose Bowl's that great. It's just the location that's awesome. But like, yeah. It's a dumpy stadium. The USC game day experience is like it's a 5 out of 10. It's fine. But the main aspect that's actually cool is the walking through campus.
The tailgating on campus, and then when we would bring people and do something, and then the band will come through and play at the different tailgates along the way, walking down Truesdale, I think it is. I think that's cool. Like that kind of got limited during COVID stuff too, but that's probably the best part where there will be like students everywhere. There's alumni everywhere and just all kinds of tailgating stuff going on. The way they've renovated the Coliseum and the stuff they're building museums, the tailgating around the Coliseum sucks now. It's really hard to do. There's like only limited spaces where you can do that kind of stuff. It's really hard to park there. So I would say you want to focus on campus, park on campus, tailgate on campus. That stuff's all cool. The other stuff is like, yeah, I've never gone to a bar. They have one bar on campus, Traddy's, like that's okay. But I'm not like a bar before a game kind of guy. I'm more of a tailgate kind of guy.
Same.
But the campus stuff is good.
Yep. UCLA, it's all right. Tailgating on the golf course is a pretty cool experience. Not having the stadium on campus means the student section doesn't typically show up en masse, so that kind of changes the game day atmosphere. It's okay, I guess, 6 out of 10. I mean, fair enough. I mean, I think I'd probably put it a little bit higher because I think the like grass, like the ability to tailgate on grass in mass in that way and doing it on a golf course is unmatched probably in the Pac-12, but there are some real drawbacks of being in Pasadena.
Yeah, just you're far away. I mean,
you're
just
far away from everything. It's hard to get there. Yeah. So I'd probably put it like at an 8 out of 10, but 6 out of 10 is fair.
All right.
Pac-12 North, Stanford. See, this is okay. This is the part that I find I don't really know what we're judging here because he's giving Stanford a 2 out of 10. So, kill it with fire. You ever been lost in the woods before? Would you like to? Then go tailgate at Stanford. You might have a good time tailgating on the farm, but then the game lets out and droves of people just disappear off into the woods like children of the corn. No identifiable landmarks anywhere to guide you or help you find your car. You know it's incredibly aggravating after going to Stanford and catching an L, having to Hansel and Gretel your way back to where you parked. That's what it's a mess. I also couldn't find any good college bars. I guess the nerds have better things to do. 2 out of 10.
So he's more of a bar guy.
I don't know. I honestly don't know what he's judging here because first the tailgating scene at Stanford, like pure tailgating, is the second best in the league. Maybe
you think.
From where you can be, like you can be under trees,
yeah,
in grassy areas.
It feels like UCLA.
There's plentiful space to tailgate. There's limited rules on it all. Like it's a really good experience, and it's very close.
Now you might see like two old people like sitting at a little like with a little table, no, but like with wine and cheese.
As a road group going and tailgating there, it's a good tailgating experience. Washington, and UCLA are probably the three that I'd say are the best from that perspective. Now the game experience, it's because Stanford's shitty and their stadium is shitty. And it feels like, it still feels like a mausoleum, even though it isn't the mausoleum anymore. But bars, I don't really understand that one either, because I've gone to a bunch of Palo Alto bars,
but they're not like
before
close,
and after games.
They're not really close to the stadium or whatever.
Like, close enough. You walk across the street and up a little bit and they're there.
Yeah. I one of the best tailgates I've ever been to was at Stanford.
Yeah.
Like, our buddy RJ hooked it up, and it was, you know, I don't know, some, it's like some rich Stanford alum that they do this tailgate every year. And he's like, come by, like before the game. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, the food was, it was just like, everything was catered, like homemade cookies. Like it was pretty freaking awesome.
I don't know. It's a 6 out of 10 for me.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's 2 for sure.
All right. This is Cal. Okay. Telegraph Avenue has a few cool bars, and there is a beer garden on the north side of the stadium with live music that all 7 Cal fans show up to pregame. Despite the product on the field, it's all right. The fans there haven't ever been anything other than indifferent to me as a visiting fan, 5 out of 10. Cal, I would put it at 2 out of 10.
That one's like you take the BART and like walk over. I don't think there's not much to do.
It's a pain in the ass getting into that stadium.
If you try to drive and park in those little neighborhoods around, like it's a
nightmare.
Because they don't embrace it as much. Yeah. No, and if you could like jump in one of those frats that's close by. Like I think there's fraternities.
Yeah, if you can go party at a frat, but like I think you nailed it. I think this guy's just a bar guy.
Yeah, he's a bar guy.
He's got to do bars.
Yeah.
But no, Cal's butt. Oregon, the Mo Center is the place to go. Beer, live music, and lots of reminders all around you that this university and its athletic programs would be totally irrelevant if it weren't for Uncle Phil and that sweet, sweet Nike money. Not easy to get lost trying to find your car after the game, as the campus isn't all that big. Eugene is a cool college town with a couple little bars to hang out in before the game. Traffic is a nightmare afterwards, though. 5 out of 10.
I just haven't done much there.
Neither have I. But traffic is indeed a nightmare, so I'm willing to just go on faith that it's a 5 out of 10.
Okay.
Oregon State, what a stark contrast from Oregon. In a binary world of haves and have-nots, Oregon State is definitely the latter. There's a serious lack of funds and fan interest in the facilities and the experience, but those flannel-wearing, Subaru-driving fans sure do love to guzzle beer like they're a Civil War soldier and the doctor's coming to saw their leg off. The chainsaw sound is obnoxious, but otherwise it's a decent spot. 4 out of 10.
I don't think I've done much there either.
I've gone,
but I just haven't.
It's so stark, the difference between Corvallis and Eugene, as like,
but you wouldn't think, but it is.
You wouldn't think, but like when you go into Corvallis, it feels like you feel like outsiders. You feel like the entire town is watching you as you're walking into the bar. It's got a real like Hills Have Eyes feel to it.
Gotcha. Okay,
which is kind of cool. Like it's kind of cool from like a you know, one angle. Like you're seeing a true hostile like entire town environment to you. And on the other hand, you want to get out of there immediately. 4 out of 10 seems fair.
I love that we, in this email, we've had Hills Have Eyes and Children of the Corn reference.
Washington.
We're tailgating.
Washington. Sailgating is pretty cool. Very unique experience. Washington fans can be terrible, though. There's just no need for the hostility. I'm just trying to watch a football game. You don't need to project your insecurities onto me just because I show up wearing another team's color. 5 out of 10.
Okay, so this is...
I do not understand what's going on. Washington is an 8 out of 10, maybe a 9 out of 10.
You can do on a boat. Like, the boat comes right up.
Also, like, the view from the stadium. Like, everything is just awesome at Washington.
Yeah.
Except that it's raining most of the time, but we can get over that.
Now, it might be, like, you might have to have money to have the best tailgating experience, because it's literally you needed to have a friend with a boat. But that stuff is awesome. Like, tailgating, boating, all of it, awesome.
And the stadium experience is cool. It's a cool stadium.
Yeah.
There's lots of cool stuff.
It's weird for the press box. Like, you feel like you're so high up.
You feel like you're going to die.
You're high up, and it's like, I feel like it's a nuclear-proof glass.
It shakes.
It does. But I feel like the glass is like, you could shoot a nuclear weapon at it, and you wouldn't, like, you can't hear what's going on if it's really loud out there, you know?
Yeah.
But it does move.
It does. It moves.
Yeah.
Not
great.
And
I think they got decent food and stuff in the press box, too.
Washington State, who the hell would ever go to Pullman, Washington to watch a football game? 0 out of 10.
I don't buy this one either.
No, this is a 5 out of 10. It's a solid mid.
The Coug alone, so he's a bar guy. So what I'm disappointed
he just hasn't gone, is what he's
saying. Because like, if you love your college bars, like the Coug is way up there.
Yeah.
Like way up there.
Here's my thing. If you're going to a bunch of games at opposing stadiums and you're asking for our advice on, like, what is he was asking at the beginning for a tailgating game day experience, and then all you're talking about is bars, I don't think you know what tailgating is. Yeah. There's a word there that actually means something. You open the tailgate on your car.
Not at a bar stool.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the tailgate. The tailgate is hanging out outside. So we may have misunderstood. If you were asking about the bar situation, it would be a different story. But
speaking of college bars, I learned something talking to a dude who played volleyball up at UC Davis. No, he played, I think he played football.
You were clearly at a bar when you heard this story.
I was. Yeah, no, it was a buddy. He actually worked, so he works for, a friend worked at the lake for Lakers. This guy played football for UC Davis. We're having a beer. My buddy's like, the Lakers are done, so he's going out of town. And so we went to have a beer, like it was on Monday or something. And the dude's like, yeah, I played.
Was it the great El Segundo quarterback, Matt Engel?
It was not.
Okay.
But he played football at UC Davis. And I'm like, oh, so do you go to the grad? He's like, oh, yeah, all the time. He's like, it's closed. I'm like, what? So the grad was when I played volleyball, we had a tournament up there when I was at USC. And you would go and they did early enough in the day, they would do 5-for-1 drinks. Like, this is insane. So you're in college and they were Long Island iced teas and those old glass milk carton kind of thingies. Maybe they're plastic, but big ones with a straw in it. And literally you buy one and they put 5 Long Island iced teas in front of you. And then you're obliterated, you know? So you buy one drink basically and you're done. But it was a cool bar. And he said that during the pandemic or the beginning of the pandemic, it closed. It's closed for good. And apparently they moved where the stadium is now. And it used to be a great proximity to everything. So any UC Davis grads out there, Aggies, I believe, let me know what's going on, man. What happened to the grad? Because that was one of my favorite college bars on the West Coast.
There you go.
And I like college bars, obviously.
Yep.
One last one. JT Daniels. If JT Daniels commits to the Beavs, does this change your projected win total for them? Thanks from Greg. So we can say, since we didn't, would it have?
Potentially.
But they went to a bowl. I kind of feel they're going to be flat.
Yeah.
Daniels, could they go from 7 to 8 wins or something?
A bullish team.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it changed significantly. But
I'm bullish on them being a bullish team.
They need some quarterback play.
Yeah, who knows?
And he could have put them over the top. And
our man John Smith can coach a quarterback.
Yeah.
He can get him up there.
But there were times this year where you're just like, why are you throwing the ball? Just run. You got running backs. You
Chance,
got studs.
Chase, Nolan, whatever his name is, he's going to do great.
Chevy, what? I forget
Chevy,
his name.
Chase, Nolan, whatever.
Yeah. Is Jebbia still there? There's a bunch
who
of
who knows? Who cares? Doesn't matter.
Well,
Jonathan
spring game.
Smith is going to suit up and play.
So what we can do is watch the spring game on Saturday.
Then we'll figure some stuff out.
Unfortunately, no JT Daniels at the spring game.
True.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap things up.
Is it?
I think so.
So soon?
Pretty tight show.
Damn.
I thought we were going to be done in less than an hour, but it's an hour and 8 minutes.
Thanks to me, I think.
We're getting you out on time.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Don't worry, I'll edit the show and put it all up and everything for you.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
Okay, this time?
Yes, this time. And pretty much every time, yeah. Well, let's go wrap it up. For David Woods, the man who loves spring games like no other, I'm Ryan Abraham. Thank you so much for listening to our little show. Hope you enjoyed your experience, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye.